Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this weekend edition of our English feature program. Coming up today, Pope Benedict visits the southern Italian region of Puglia, celebrating Mass in the port city of Brindisi and the town of Santa Maria di Leuca. And stay tuned for episode 3 of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth, written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua. Pope Benedict XVI is travelling to the southern Italian region of Puglia this weekend for a two-day visit to the city of Brindisi and the beautiful resort town of Santa Maria di Leuca on the southernmost tip of the peninsula. The Pope is celebrating two Masses, one in the Marian Shrine at Santa Maria di Leuca on Saturday, the other on the quayside in Brindisi on Sunday morning, highlighting the strategic importance of this ancient port city, located at the very end of the Appian Way. Traditionally a crossroads between East and Western cultures and religions, the Puglia region has more recently been struggling to cope with large numbers of immigrants who land along its Adriatic coastline. As well as greeting local people on the quayside on Sunday, the Pope will have meetings with bishops, priests and nuns in the city before returning to the Vatican on Sunday evening. To find out more about some of the places Pope Benedict will be stopping at on this weekend itinerary, Tracy McClure sat down with our resident Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis.
You know, this is not his first trip to the Puglia region. His very first trip within Italy as Pope was to Bari for a Eucharistic Congress. And so the Pope is actually, just about as we're speaking, has just arrived. He is getting ready to say Mass at the shrine of Santa Maria di Leuca. And then he's going to, of course, go to Brindisi. He's going to spend the night there. There'll be Mass and so forth tomorrow, but we'll get to that later. But it's very interesting, his trip to Santa Maria de Finibus Terrae. We can actually say the Pope went to the ends of the earth, because that is the Latin name that the Romans gave to Santa Maria di Leuca. And actually, the Greeks called it, Leuca itself is from a Greek word which means a white land kissed by the sun. They used that word a lot to describe a lot of lands. We don't really know, because there's nothing written about it, if it has to do with just the light color of the earth, the white of the homes, the lightness due to the sun, because it is indeed a sun-kissed region. But the ancient Romans called this De Finibus Terrae, at the ends of the earth, because this part of Italy, those of you who know Italy well, the shape of it is shaped like a boot. We are talking about the heel of this boot. And this was called Finibus Terrae, the ends of the earth, for the Romans, because at that point, in these cities and towns, is where the Roman Empire ended. Beyond that, the provinciale, or the colonies, began. And so that's why they called it the at the ends of the earth. Now, interestingly enough, this shrine has both pagan and Christian roots, the shrine that the Pope is going to visit, Santa Maria di Leuca. It is said that the shrine today, which has been built and rebuilt and so forth over the years, but that it rose on a place where there was actually a temple dedicated to the goddess Minerva. And the legend says, and there's nothing written, but there were legends handed down all over the place and about this area and the arrival of St. Peter. And legend says that St. Peter appeared, and he came, of course, from the East. He was on his way to Rome, and the temple just absolutely collapsed and fell to the earth at his arrival on this land. Of course, that's legend. But there is part of an original altar that remains, which is actually part of the church as we know it today. And so there's a lot of wonderful stories really associated with St. Peter and St. Leuca. Supposedly, St. Peter came in the year 43 here. And tradition says that he landed in this part of the world, which is kind of where the Adriatic and the Ionian seas meet. And many people, again, we don't have any written records of this, but one church after the other between this Puglia region and Rome was named for St. Peter. So,
as he made his way up.
As he made his way up in and around Puglia and on his way to Rome. Now, of course, we said the Holy Father is just about to celebrate Mass at the shrine, after which he's going to, at about 8:30, he's going to meet with young people, and then he'll spend the night. He'll go to Brindisi, and he'll spend the night at the Archbishop's residence there. Now, interestingly enough, 100 different cities got together, and there are going to be 100 palms lining the route. I believe it's the route to the shrine. 100 palms lining the route for the Holy Father. These are given by all the little cities and towns of the Salento region. And there's 100 of them, and each of them have donated a palm tree to line this route. Now, whether these will stay in place permanently or something, I don't know. But one kind of interesting thing, and yet it's kind of sad, about the Leuca visit, I went online to get some information about preparations in the diocese there of Leuca. And apparently some people, very unorthodox, obviously dishonest, let's say it, have been selling tickets to the papal events.
Oh, goodness.
I know, for 20 euro. And so they've got this big warning on their site. And as we all know, and as our listeners should certainly know by now, any ticket to any papal event, I don't care if it's a mass, a concert, the Wednesday audience, whatever, they are all free.
You never always pay for them.
Always have been free. And it says usually on the back of the ticket in six languages that it's free. So they're trying to take care of that and make sure that the people who bought tickets, thinking they're going to a papal mass, they're warning them, you won't get in with those tickets. So they're trying to take care of that. And
well, of course, at the end of the day on Saturday, the Pope is going over to Brindisi, where he will be spending much of the day of Sunday.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about what he'll be doing on Sunday.
Well, what we're going to look forward to on Sunday, of course, the Holy Father, again, will be in Brindisi. He's going to celebrate Mass. He's going to visit some cloistered nuns early in the morning, and then he's going to celebrate Mass on one of the quays in Brindisi. He will go to the bishop's home for lunch and a meeting with other bishops. And he will visit the cathedral privately at about 5 o'clock or so, little after 5, he will leave for Rome. So that's just kind of a look ahead to Sunday after his hours here in Santa Maria di Leuca.
The Diocese of Brindisi-Ostuni has been preparing for this papal visit for several months under the guidance of the local bishop, both spiritual and pastoral preparation, but also paying attention to some practical details to make this a most memorable trip for all concerned. Joan Lewis again.
Well, you know, in visiting the site of the Diocese of Brindisi, I thought it was absolutely fascinating, and I printed out a couple pages here of what they call promotional bags for the pilgrims. Now, the first one costs 5 euro, and you get a baseball cap, you get a flag, you get a little pin, and you get kind of a scarf to wear around your neck. And then the second packet has all of those things, plus you get an umbrella and what they call a cold cylinder. I think it's a thing I'm trying to gather from the picture. It seems to be a thermal thing in which you would put a cold drink to keep it cold. You can buy those packs, or you can buy any one of the gadgets separately. You can buy the Vatican umbrella for 2.70 euro.
Hey, that's a deal.
The flag, however, the Vatican flag, the yellow and white Vatican flag with the papal stem, is free. That is given out by the Diocese of Brindisi. So if you want a papal souvenir, folks, you got to go online to the Diocese of Brindisi and get your baseball cap, umbrella, and Vatican flag.
Thanks there to our resident Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis. And you can hear full coverage of Pope Benedict's visit to Brindisi and Santa Maria di Leuca on our programme at this same time tomorrow with Tracy McClure. now we present episode 3 of our radio drama, written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and entitled To the Ends of the Earth. As we prepare to mark the opening of the Pauline year, celebrating 2,000 years since the birth of the Apostle of the Gentiles, this 26-part serialisation of events in the Acts of the Apostles and the letters of St. Paul takes us back to the days immediately following Pentecost and our Lord's instruction to the first disciples to take the good news to the ends of the earth.
Last week's episode told of the life of the first Christians in Jerusalem, the healing of a cripple, and the arrest and interrogation of Peter and John.
Have pity on a poor cripple, kind sirs. Just a small offering. God will reward you.
Look, Peter. Pity we have nothing to give.
Oh, but we have.
Mercy. Have mercy on a poor cripple. A small offering.
I have no silver or gold, but what I have I will give you. Give me your hand.
Who are you?
Do as he says.
Now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.
Look! I'm walking! Look, oh, friends, everyone, see.
It's not possible. I can't believe it.
But he's walking. How did they, what did they do? Where have they gone? Hey, you.
Praise God in the highest.
Hey, Jacob, come back. Hey, what are we to do with your bed?
Now, you men of Galilee, we order you that from this day forward, you are to speak no more in the name of this man, this Jesus, either to make statements or to teach.
Reverend sirs, it is for you to judge whether in God's eyes it is right to listen to you and not to God. But we cannot promise to stop proclaiming what we have seen and heard.
Today's episode tells of their release and return to the community, of the practice of holding goods in common, the gift of Barnabas, and the sin and punishment of Ananias and Sapphira.
And so it was that the court released Peter and John. They could not think of any way to punish them, since all the people were giving glory to God for what had happened. As soon as they were released, John and Peter went to the community.
I can't wait to meet the new baptized.
Yes, it sounds as though the people are coming in crowds. The temple priests will be furious.
I'd love to see their faces. You certainly know how to talk to them, Peter. The Lord must be proud of you.
If only he were here with us.
He is, Peter, he is.
Of course he is. It's just, well, you know what I mean.
I do, Peter. Courage, man, and remember the Spirit.
Oh, yes. With the Spirit, there's nothing we shall not do. The whole world will worship the Master.
Look. There's Mark's house over there.
Peter! John! They're back! They're free!
Peter,
Tell us, what happened?
How do they treat you? Are you all right?
Mary's been most concerned, John.
Stood there and showed them Jacob the cripple, who could walk. Proof of the Lord's power.
Yes, it was all the master's doing. They didn't know what to do then, did they, John?
No, they were struck dumb. All of them, Caiaphas included.
Then he decided to send us out.
They sent us outside while they had a conference.
And then they let you go?
No, they called us in and said we were not to speak to anyone in the Lord's name again.
But we told them that was out of the question.
Just like that.
More or less.
And so here we are.
The Lord be praised.
And now, let us all pray together.
Sovereign Lord, you who has made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them, you.
And as they prayed, the house where they were assembled rocked. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to proclaim the word of God boldly. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and they were all given great respect. Now the company of those who believed had but one heart and one soul. No one claimed for his own use anything that he had, but everything that they owned was held in common. None of their members was ever in want, as all those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money from them to present it to the apostles. It was then distributed to any members who might be in need.
What a peaceful evening, Peter. Doesn't it remind you of...
I know what you're going to say. That last time with the Lord, when we were coming into shore with a boat and we'd caught nothing, like the first time.
And there he was, standing on the shore, the breeze blowing in his hair. I remember noticing him as we drew close inshore. But even when he spoke, it never occurred to me. It was only when he told us to cast our nets the other side.
Oh, and what a catch that was. We could hardly keep the boat afloat.
I looked at him again and...
I could hardly swim fast enough.
You weren't going to let anyone get there before you, were you?
There was another time, though, when you beat me to it.
That race to the tomb, yes. Remember how we went inside and found...
Nothing. Just the cloths, neatly folded on the stone where they'd lain him.
Peter! John!
That sounds like Mark.
He has someone with him. It's that young Levite. What's his name? Joseph.
You mean the Cypriot? Yes, we call him Barnabas now.
Barnabas? Son of encouragement. Well, here they are. So, Mark, what's the news? And you, young man, what brings you to Galilee?
Mark told me we'd find you here. He said you were going fishing tonight.
Yes, we're waiting for Andrew and the others. Are you a fisherman, too?
No, not exactly.
Go on, tell them.
I had a field my father left me. I didn't need it, so I thought... Well, now that I'm one of the brethren, Please, here's the price I got for it.
That's very generous of you, Barnabas. We shall certainly be able to use it. There's always someone asking us for help.
There was someone else talking about selling up too, wasn't there?
Yes, a man and his wife. They seemed to be quite wealthy the way they were talking.
I think I know who you mean.
Isn't his name Ananias?
That's the man.
I don't know him. Is he a brother?
I've seen them in the temple, both of them.
Well, if you see them again, tell them to come and break bread with us tomorrow.
I'll do that. Look, there's Andrew and James and Philip coming up behind.
We'd better get the boat out, Peter. It's time we got moving.
Can we help?
Here, give us a hand with the net, John. Thanks again, Barnabas. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Andrew, you fellas coming or not? We're all set for a busy night.
What's the trouble back there? Is something wrong? Do you have something to say to the community?
I have important matters of business to do with Peter.
Just now our business is prayer, my friend. Won't you join us?
I come especially to deliver the proceeds of a sale. My wife and I... Peter. You will remember me, I'm sure. Ananias is the name.
Yes, I believe we have met. You're one of the more recent brethren, I think.
Yes, my wife, Sapphira, and I have submitted to the baptism. I forget who it was who...
One of our company, certainly. They call us the Twelve.
You said you were anxious to see me?
You are the leader of the community.
By no merit of mine. It was the master who...
Peter makes the decisions here.
Well, then you know that I brought a gift, a very great gift... for the church.
We are all very grateful to you.
My wife and I have sold all our property, our land, our goods, everything. And here is the money. The sum of everything we have in the world is laid here at your feet.
And I sold everything for the church.
He's one of us now.
Yes, but do you know what a rich man he is?
Oh, what generosity. True disciple.
Amazing.
Ananias. Why has Satan made you lie to the Holy Spirit?
What do you mean? The Holy...
Why have you kept back part of the price of the land?
What are you saying?
Ananias, while you still owned the land, wasn't it yours to keep? And after you'd sold it, wasn't the money yours to do what you liked with? Who put this scheme into your head? Why have you done this? You have not lied to men, Ananias. You have lied to God.
He's dead.
How could he lie like that? But how did Peter know?
I don't understand. Why? To be struck dead like that? I mean... He's just given away all his worldly goods.
Yes. Not all, though. That's what Peter said.
I'm going to ask Peter.
What is troubling you all? That God should still manifest his power when a man presumes to deceive him?
But this man had just given away his property to you, to all of us. Is that a crime?
Dear brother in Christ, brothers and sisters all, no one can deny that to give away what is our own is a good thing, but to pretend that you have given all, when in fact you have only given part, that is deception.
Maybe he thought he might need some still.
He became one of us, sister, and we share all we have with each other. No one is in need.
That's true.
But he was very rich. It must have been very difficult to part with all that money.
There was a rich man once, remember, Peter? He wanted to join us, to follow the Master. But when Jesus said, "First sell all you have and give it to the poor," he couldn't do it.
It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle
than for a rich man to enter heaven.
I wish I had known the Master.
He is with us every day when we break bread. And now, let us continue with our prayers. What you have seen today was no human deed, and we must give praise to God for showing us his power through men.
I've
never seen Peter so angry.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
My brother had to help them carry him out. They had to bury him quickly.
Didn't he have a wife?
Oh, yes. No children, though. And they were really rich.
I wonder what she'll do when she hears about it.
Look, that's her coming up the street. Quick, let's get in before she does.
Yes, that's her, all right. I can tell by the way she walks. Thinks she's the Queen of Sheba.
Oh, with all that money.
I am Peter. What can I do for you?
My name is Sapphira. My husband, I think, has already been to see you.
Your husband?
Ananias is his name.
Yes, indeed. Your husband did come to see me.
Ah, and so you've received our gift to the church.
Yes, we received the gift.
All our worldly goods.
Is that so? You sold your land, I believe.
Oh, yes. Our land, our property, everything we had, all for the church. We are now poor with the poor.
So you and your husband agreed to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test. What made you do it?
What do you say?
Do you know where these young men have been and what they've been doing?
What do I know about them and what they have been doing?
They have just done your husband the last service he will receive in this world.
What do you mean? Where is my husband?
These young men have been burying him. Now they will carry you out, too. Lay her beside her husband.
Lift her gently.
That's it.
Come on.
Make way, please. Make way.
And now, brothers and sisters, let us pray that God will have mercy on this man and on this woman, his wife.
But how, Peter? How can God forgive such a crime?
The Lord can forgive where we cannot. We must hope that at the moment of death itself, they might have repented of their attempt to deceive.
And great fear came upon the whole church, and upon all who heard of these things.
You have been listening to the third episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Arthur Baum, Eleonora Baldwin, Sylvia Favor, John Gayford, Maya Glickman, Don Hodson, John Murphy, Stephen Nailwick, Clive Rich, and Veronica Wells. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. The sound engineer was Luciano D'Andrea. You can hear episode 4 at the same time next week.
And that's all for today's edition of our English feature programme. Be sure to join us again at this same time tomorrow if you can, or find us on the internet. Simply look us up at www.vaticanradio.org and click on the English icon. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.